We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
It is a wonderful Wednesday in Brevard County, Florida, and you are listening to the Refresh Radio program on WMIE 91.5 FM. My name's Bob Arthurs, and I bring you good news. Jesus is still on the throne. He knows your name. He knows every need that you have in your life. He knew you when you were in your mother's womb. He doesn't have a memory problem. He is working in you to will and to do his good pleasure. You are his workmanship, his masterpiece in the making. And so I bring you good news this Wednesday from Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island, Florida. So with all of the different people that we have that come to the church, I want to recommend to you today Jits Concrete, J-I-T-S, 536-5804. If you need any block or concrete work done, give them a call. It will be a blessing to you. They come out, they do the work professionally. They are fully aware of all of the different requirements and the strengths of the concrete and what goes in and what needs to be done and the proper depth and how much water is needed, how much drying time, what needs to be done during that drying time. You want to give them a call if you need any block or concrete work done, whether it's a new driveway, new sidewalks, anything like that. Give them a call, 321-536-5804. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh Radio broadcast. So today we are going to resume our study. We're right now in the book of Psalms studying the fruit of the Spirit, which is peace. And peace does not mean that, everything is going absolutely wonderful. It means that God gives you peace that goes beyond your circumstances. It goes more than through what you're experiencing at this moment to see what your eternity looks like, and that is wholeness with God. Wholeness with God. And so today we are going to be looking in Psalm, the 55th chapter, Psalm 55, and I'm going to read several verses for you. We'll probably just read the entire psalm here today. We're not going to discuss the whole psalm. But Psalm 55, this says it was written by David. It says, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and do not hide yourself from my supplication. Attend to me and hear me. I am restless in my complaint and moan noisily because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they bring down trouble upon me, and in wrath they hate me. My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues, for I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go around it on its walls. Iniquity and trouble are also in the midst of it. Destruction is in its midst. Oppression and deceit do not depart from its streets. For it is not an enemy who reproaches me, that then I could bear it. Nor is it one who hates me, who has exalted himself against me. Then I could hide from him. But it was you, a man, my equal, my companion, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. Let death seize them, let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon I will pray, and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. He has redeemed my soul in peace from the battle that was against me. For there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them. Even he who abides from of old, because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. But you, O God, shall bring them down to the pit of destruction. Bloodthirsty and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust you. Why don't you say that last part of Psalm 55 there with me this morning? But I will trust you. This is a psalm of David, and I will tell you that I do not believe that anybody really thrives, enjoys, it brings them great immense ecstasy whenever they are going through a very threatening situation where there is conflict that is being waged. And that is what David is describing here, and he's asking God to hear his prayer. In verse 4, he begins to describe how what he really wants to do is to run away and to hide. And if he ends up in the wilderness where there's not any more of this reality that people are trying to bring him down and destroy him, then he's okay with that. He would, at this point in time, he's saying, I am just looking for a safe place, and that safe place is far away from people. I don't know if you've ever felt like that. I know that when I was in retail that there was a time I remember making this statement. I don't remember everything about the circumstances, but I said this: God, what I would really like right now is a job digging ditches to where I don't have to necessarily deal with the responsibility of dealing with people right now. That's not a good thing to say when you're called into the ministry. You see, we're in the people business because God is in the people business. And I want you to understand that God's strategy for whatever you're going through is more glorious than running away from home and hiding from your problems. Don't know if you've ever been tempted to do that. One night when our kids were, I don't remember exactly how old they were. They were probably middle school and high school. And, you know, it might've been that time when we had one kid in grade school, middle school, and high school. I don't remember the time frame, but they were bemoaning the fact that we had corrected them for something. And I said, okay, I tell you what tonight we're going to do. We are going to switch roles. And we're going to allow you all to be the parents, and we're going to be the kids. And immediately they said, okay, you're grounded. Go to your room. And my wife and I looked at one another. We got a great big smile on our face, and we ran and we locked the door so they couldn't change their mind. And they said, wait a minute, that didn't turn out at all the way that we wanted. I don't know if you've ever looked to run to a safe place or not, but, they soon found out they didn't want to be the adults in the situation, and they didn't want us grounded to our room. So God's got something better for you than running away from your problem. He wants you to conquer your problem and experience peace as a result of it. David begins to describe, and it said, you know, this problem that I'm dealing with, it is having ramifications throughout every area of my influence. And he said, the problem is, it is not an enemy that is reproaching me. It's not someone who has exalted himself against me that hates me, but it's a man. This is in verse number 13, a man, my equal, my companion, my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked to the house of God in the throng. I don't know if you have ever had a situation at church where someone did something and you were wounded as a result of it, but I encourage you to, if you haven't, just give it time. It will probably happen. I'm not a pessimist. I'm not prophesying that over you. I'm just letting you know that there is no such thing as a perfect church, because there is no such thing as perfect people. And so we need to measure the grace of God and the mercy of God and extend that to those that we are worshiping with. This psalm that David is writing here, he said, the reason that I am going through such anguish is this person was my friend. We sat down and we discussed issues together. We had meals together. We worshiped together. We were on the same path at one point in time. There was harmony between us. This is a person that David obviously felt very close to. And he said that there was now something that was going on, that his prayer in verse 15 is, let death seize them, let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is among their dwellings and among them. I will say this about David. David did not want to surround himself with wicked people. And so with that being said, today I will ask you, what type of people do you surround yourself with? Now, I'm not talking about whether or not you are considered a friend of sinners, in that you reach out to people and you try and minister to them. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, what type of people do you surround yourself with? Do you surround yourself with people of like faith? Do you surround yourself with people maybe of even greater faith than you've got? Do you surround yourself with people who are encouragers, who are there to build one another up? Do you surround yourself with people of the Word, who know what the Word of God says and live it out? Those are the type of people you surround yourself with, you should surround yourself with. I noticed something here over the past decade or so, in that a number of the phenomenal worship leaders that are operating in Christianity today, they are not competitors, they are collaborators. They work together. They come together and they say, how can we make this an anthem to God that is going to bring glory and praise? It is going to echo in the hearts of God's people and rise to prominence. What type of people do you surround yourself with? You and I, we should surround ourselves with people who are going to provoke us to good works, and that we can provoke them to good works. We need to be drawing the best out of one another, not putting one another down. Verse number 16, as for me, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. He says, even though a friend of mine, an associate, someone that I hold very dear to my heart, even though that person has attacked me and done me wrong, it says in verse number 20 that this person had broken covenant, that his speech was very smooth and very persuasive, but war was in his heart. One of the first inclinations that you are going to have, one of the first indicators that there may be a change in a relational dynamic that is coming up, is when you hear the sound of someone's words and yet it doesn't line up with their life. When they're speaking peace in your hearing, but when you're absent, they're speaking war, hostility, and attack. It's at that point in time that you've got to do what David did. And you know, let me temper that just a little bit. It is not my privilege to be praying for somebody to go to hell. That's not my privilege, because that is contrary to the will of God. The will of God is that none should perish and that all should come to everlasting life. So please do not ever get to the place where you are telling people to go to an eternity apart from God. That's not what Christians are called to do. And I will tell you, I learned that lesson very early in ministry, where there was a person who did very, very much this thing. Now, I would not say that we were as close as this person, and that they were walking in covenant with that I was walking in covenant with this person, but it was a person that I knew well. It is a person that I went to church with. And one night this person said something to me that was extremely flattering, and the Spirit of God spoke in my heart and said, don't believe them. They are not telling you the accurate way that they feel. And I know that that was the Spirit of God, because there was nothing in the things that they said, nor in the attitude in which they said it, that would lead you to that conclusion. But immediately upon the them making the statement, God said, don't believe them. Don't believe them. And all of a sudden, the same attitude that David expressed in verse 15 arose in my heart. And I said, I don't want to repeat what I said. So immediately a sentiment very similar to verse number 15 arose up in my spirit. And God said, I don't want them to go to hell. I don't want that. And I repented, and I began to pray for that person, that God would grip their heart with grace. You see, please do not ever think that pastors are just preaching out of theory. You see, I tell people all the time, God makes me live through the things that I preach. I have had a situation that has arisen over the past couple of weeks that would threaten the peace that I am proclaiming. But in the midst of that, in the face of that, God has given me a peace that is beyond the circumstance. It was quite an interesting summer. You know, it's not one of those that you want to have movies made out of. It's one of these that when you start reading it, you say, well, I don't want to finish this book. I don't want to sing the second verse. I don't want to sing the third verse of this song. And yet the peace of God, though it came under attack, it still is present. So David says, what I'm going to do is, instead of attacking them back, I'm going to call upon the Lord and ask the Lord to save me. I'm going to do it in the morning. I'm going to do it in the evening. I'm going to do it at noon. I'm going to pray, and I am going to pray loud. I know that God's not hard of hearing, but sometimes the devil's hard of minding. And so I not only want God to hear, I want the devil to hear, I want the circumstances to hear that I am proclaiming my faith in God. And verse number 17, David says, and he, God, shall hear my voice. Okay, I have this amazing thing that I have observed in church through the years of preaching and with kids in the nursery. And that is that it doesn't matter how many kids were in the nursery, when a child began to cry in the nursery, the correct parent would get up and go to the nursery, because they recognized their child's cry. It was the mom or the dad, whichever one of them was responding. It was because those parents knew the sound of their child. The other parents whose children weren't crying, they just continued to focus right on the message. It wasn't a distraction for them, because they knew that it wasn't a cry from their child. How much more do you think God pays attention to you and I when we cry out to him for help? I'm telling you, he does. By the way, I will tell you this. Children crying in the nursery never distract me, because it sounds like life in the house of God. And that's just the truth. People say, does it disturb you? Does it distract you when you hear kids crying in the nursery? It's like, no, it's like, thank you, Jesus, there are children in the nursery. That's what it does for me. Let's go on. Verse number 18 says, he has redeemed my soul in the in peace from the battle that was against me. I like that. Everything that David is describing is something that took place in the past tense. He is describing this companion that has risen against him, but he's describing the battle as if it's already been won. He is describing a redemption that has already taken place, and he is describing peace that is a reality because he is a living child of God. That word redeemed means to sever, to ransom, to release, or to redeem. And I want you to know today that when God comes to redeem you in peace, that he comes to cut you off from those enemies that might attack you, from those problems that may try to rise to a greater prominence than what they should. I want to encourage you today that when God redeems you, that you allow him to cut you off from that nutrition of death. I don't even know if that would be the right way to say that. From that toxicity that's killing you, and redeem you to that source of life. The battle that was against you is one that is a hostile encounter. God wants to redeem you from that hostility and give you peace. Gives you peace. For there were many against me. God will hear and afflict them. Even he who abides from of old, because they do not change, therefore they do not fear God. And that, let me just tell you this. Change is one of those dirty words. People don't like to change. We want people to stay exactly like they are. We want circumstances to stay exactly the same. But I will tell you this. God is the only person that never changes. From the programs that I watch about science, it tells me that the universe is constantly moving. It is constantly changing. My physiology tells me that my body is constantly changing. When kids are coming up, their body is constantly growing. It is constantly changing. They're going to school. Their minds are constantly growing and constantly changing. Churches are constantly changing and growing. There are people being born and people that are moving into the area and moving out of the area. People are promoted into eternity. There is only one thing that does not change. And if you and I refuse to embrace the change and the improvements that God wants to make into our lives, it is indicative that we do not revere him enough to say, God, you know better than I do. In all honesty, we all like to be comfortable and complacent. We like for things to go smoothly. But I'm telling you that many times the greatest propulsion in spiritual maturity happens whenever an attack comes and you find that God is faithful and you find that God has heard your prayer and that God has redeemed you in peace and brought you to that place of understanding that you wouldn't have had you not gone into the conflict. It says, verse number 20, this is talking about the person that had attacked David. He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. He has broken his covenant. He has put forth his hands against those who were at peace with him. And folks, I'll just tell you, plain and simple, it never gets any easier when that happens. You and I have to constantly remind ourselves to lift up our eyes so that they are fixed upon Jesus and not fixed upon other people. Other people may try and distract you. Other people may try and destroy you. But if we fix our eyes on Jesus, we are going to find that no matter what happens, it is going to cause us to be driven into the presence of God even deeper. The enemy only succeeds when the attack drives a wedge between us and Jesus. I can't tell you how many people through the years that The only thing that they were looking for was something like what David had talked about. Oh, if I had wings, I'd fly away like a dove. I'd fly to some place where I'm not having to deal with this conflict. But you know what? Everybody that I know that's ever tried that, the same problems followed them wherever they went. You can move from the East Coast to the West Coast to the East Coast to the West Coast to the East Coast to the West Coast. You can move from north to south, south to north, north to south, however you want to do it. You can go overseas. And the only thing that will change or that will stay the same in all of that situation is that you are still there. And if you had a problem before and you don't change because you don't fear God to such an extent that you are willing to submit to that change, then you will find the same problems there that you had when you got here. One more thing. Verse number 22. This is a great way to end this broadcast today. Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Okay? Do you get that? When we cast our burden upon the Lord, he will sustain us. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. That tells me that I can have all of the peace that God provides because the enemy is restricted. In order to get to me, he's got to get through God. In order to overpower me, he's got to overpower the God who strengthens me. And so I just want to challenge you today. Maybe you have been betrayed by someone very dear. Quite honestly, nothing gets to me quite as much as when I hear that a husband has betrayed the wife of his youth. I'm just being real with you. That brings me to the point that whenever I hear a lady tell me, you know, my husband just told me that he wants a divorce, I the first thing that comes out of my mouth is, I am so sorry. I am so sorry. And they say, well, you didn't have anything to do with it. And I said, but I apologize because we are supposed to be men who operate in the image of Christ, who are willing to lay down our lives for our wives. Lord, today we just come and we cast every care upon you. Lord, I pray that you would heal those who have been betrayed by someone close to them. And Lord, today I pray that you would bless them with abundant peace. In Jesus' name. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.